Preferred Talk-Ons. Bill, Josh, how are you now?
Good. Keith, good.
I'm doing well, Keith.
What?
I don't know.
Josh, I don't know.
Josh said made it good weird. Just stopped.
Yeah. Good, and then stopped. Interesting. Week three.
Week three. I won! So happy with myself.
Finally.
I scored really low, but still won.
Hey, Bill, a win's a win. You got something in the column.
A win's a win. Just call me Michigan State, scoring low, but still winning.
I mean, you'll probably have to wait another week.
This week?
You're probably going to have to wait another week for another point in that column. But, you did good.
Don't start talking week four preview yet, Keith. Keith and I play each other this week. That's what he's referencing.
Yeah, should be pretty good.
Do you want me to go in-depth about my team now? Or just,
yes, please.
Oh, sure. Well.
Well, no, I just asked you, not wanting really to know anything about your team.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted Josh to go, and then I'll go.
Oh, I lost, so.
Okay, well, asked me.
No, Josh,
he
doesn't matter. I'm talking to Bill right now.
Okay? I have the floor.
I got the head.
If I may.
Jeez.
I picked up Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
He did quite well.
Hmm.
Hang on. One small thing that bugs me about Fantrax is that it autos to the year-to-date stats instead of just the week-by-week stats when I change from week to week. Very small thing. Joe Burrow got 34 points against FCS Northwestern State. I picked up Tony Jones to fill an RB running back slot. He did not do well at all.
Mm-hmm.
He rushed for 17 yards. I picked up Juwan Jennings, wide receiver for Tennessee. He had a touchdown. And also picked up Kenneth Gainwell, running back from Memphis. And he ran for 150 yards and a touchdown. So I was very happy with my pickups this week.
That's good.
My team did exceptionally well. However, I only won because Evan Husky Homer started Brandon Wimbush in his QB2 slot. And Brandon Wimbush is no longer the starter.
Yep.
So that kind of fell backwards into a win, but I'll take it.
Hey, a win's a win. Josh, do you want to tell us about your terrible team right now?
Terrible. I'm still one of the top teams. Did lose for the first time this week. Nothing super special. I played Chubba Hubbard. He got three touchdowns, 43 points. My two pickups, one did well. Jacob Breeland had two touchdowns. And my other guy, Scotty Washington from Wake Forest, did not do well for me. So not bad, but not great. Got my first loss. Whatever, it happens. We'll get back next week and get back on the winning side. So,
I mean, I would hope so after a 153-point total showing. That's
it happens.
You only had 153 total?
Only 153 total. This week.
Josh, that's a Perm Edwards week for you.
Yeah,
it wasn't a great week.
It would almost be better if you didn't start some of those people.
Well, JoJo Ward only had 9 points this week as opposed to whatever he had last week.
Yeah, that was
Tylan Wallace.
That was a tough game.
Still had about 19 and a half for me. Neither my quarterbacks got over 20 points, so it happens.
Yeah.
Move on next week.
Well, I won against Gumby this week.
Suck it, Gumby.
Yeah. Both Ian Book and Jamie Newman smashed their opponents. Ian Book to the tune of 15 for 24 for 360 yards.
Yeah, he just couldn't get any of those to Tony Jones, huh?
Five touchdowns through the air.
And one rushing touchdown.
Yeah, he also picked up one on his feet.
Every player on your team scored in double digits.
Sorry, I just looked at the Arizona State MSU line again. And it made me laugh. So my pickup for this week was Justin Jefferson, LSU Tiger, got me 14 and a half points. Five receptions for 124 yards. So I was pretty happy with that. What the fuck, Maryland? Honestly,
what happened?
Because besides the yards against, just listen to this line. One sack, two safeties, three forced fumbles, and 20 points against. You think, oh, shit, yeah, that's a pretty good game. They probably won.
Nope.
No. 427 yards against. What are you
that's
doing?
Insane.
It's Temple. It's
Temple. Don't say it that way. Temple's not all that bad.
It's Temple, Bill.
Well, they beat him last year.
They also beat Texas last year.
So did Maryland.
I thought you were talking about Maryland.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
I just
Well, no offense, Keith. I don't know why you started the Maryland defense in the first place anyway.
They were the third-ranked defense in the league.
Yeah, they played Howard and Syracuse. That's
okay. That's so, you think Temple is better than Syracuse?
I'm starting to believe so. Yeah.
You're just saying that. Fucking piss me off. No. Okay, anyway, I'm very happy with my team. I'm going to continue to win, unlike my New York Six. Still
alive for technically.
New York Six.
Hawaii team. Who went up against the juggernaut of Washington.
Central Florida is going to be a tough team to out, though.
Oh, yeah. They are looking so good. They absolutely blew Stanford out of the water.
All right. Well, do you want me to get into top performers' disappointments and we can talk about the games themselves? Or how did you
want
to?
Yeah.
I just want Josh to admit that he screwed up by dropping Jamie Newman.
I did. I already said that.
I want you to relive it.
I know. I do every week now.
Well. Oh, thanks, Josh. I mean, it means a lot to me that you trust me with your quarterback on my team. He's worked out very well for me so far. Anyway, top performer.
I want to give a public apology to Mountaineer Ross. He started Matt Coughlin, the MSU kicker. Got him 1 point.
Hey, at least he got him 1 point.
The Troy defense, who got him 3 points.
I would also like to publicly apologize to any MSU fan who had to sit there and watch that game.
Can we call Sparty Matt right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's try to get him at the break just in case he doesn't answer so we can at least keep talking.
That's the fun part. Catch him off guard.
But, yeah. Wow. How?
We'll get Sparty Matt on.
Okay.
Hopefully talk about that.
Hopefully he did Sparty Matt.
Yeah. All right. So, let's do top performers of the week. Obviously, no surprise, should be Malcolm Perry, Ian Book from Notre Dame, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa. What?
Jalen Hurts, don't hear him much in the top performers.
I know. It's weird. Oh. He was a strange one. Justin Herbert out of Oregon looks back to form. Caleb Barker out of Troy had a 47-point game, 500 passing yards and 4 touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
They got a shootout with Southern Miss.
Mm-hmm. Quentin Harris out of Duke had a 46.5-point game, 4 touchdowns on the day. And Nathan Rourke.
Yeah!
46.5 points, 16 for 25, 217 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and 42 yards and 1 rushing touchdown. So, overall, pretty good week for him.
That's why he was my first-round pick.
Adrian Martinez also enjoyed a nice bounce-back week. 35.3 points, 16 for 27, 257 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Also 1 touchdown on the ground. Biggest disappointments of the week. Ryan Willis. What happened to Virginia Tech?
Dude, they looked rough.
Like, what?
Down at the half to Furman?
It was bad. To the tune, I mean, he was 17 for 21, but
not too bad.
123 yards, one interception. He was sacked 4 times against Furman.
Against Furman,
yikes!
Not great.
Armani Rogers, out of UNLV, had another nine and a half point game. 16 for 26, 120 yards, 1 interception, 5 sacks. Do you guys have any thoughts on UNLV's offense going forward? Like, do you think if you bought into him, he was honestly one of the ones to watch this year. Do you think it's time to jump ship or?
Well, he's on Sparty Matt's team, so.
Well, Sparty Matt's half the quarterbacks.
His bench is still full of quarterbacks. We know that. But for somebody who didn't draft like Sparty Matt.
We're kind of at the point now, if he hasn't produced yet, I don't think he's going to.
Right.
So I think it's time to put up or shut up.
Well, and it was weird. It was a weird thought to me today. Like, we're already a quarter way through our season.
Right? Oh.
What?
That's sad to think about.
I know.
That's just really depressing.
It's really weird. But 3 weeks in, we're a quarter of the way. I mean, at this point, you have to start making moves if you're 0-3 or 1-2.
Yep.
Also on here, Cole McDonald out of Hawaii, 13.8 points. Again, just
that was against Washington, though. Yeah. You got to put the
three INTs. I mean, without those, that's You could have put up a decent day.
Thanks for covering Hawaii.
Holt Naylor's out of ECU. 11 for 23, 138 yards, one interception.
I know you were big on him, Keith. Do you still have him?
He's up and down.
Is he still on your roster?
No, I believe I dropped him.
Okay.
But I can get into that in a second. I believe I dropped him because, again, I got to the point where, okay, ECU is clearly not going to give me anything. I mean, they were playing Navy, so I guess you could say, well, with a defensive matchup, I guess there's some room for error. But
even against, like, previous week was against Gardner Webb.
Right.
He completed 62% of his passes, had two rushing touchdowns, but he still threw an interception and only 200 yards through the air. So it's not like he's putting up crazy numbers against bad competition.
Right. One other notable on the disappointments here. Can you guess how many attempts Alan Bowman from Texas Tech had this week?
I'm going to guess 69.
Nice. I'm going to say 18.
He was 30 for 55.
55? Oh, man.
311 yards, but only got 17 and a half points. Two interceptions.
They're just super inefficient.
Super inefficient.
Now he's hurt.
And now he's hurt. So we'll see. Anything else to say about quarterbacks before we move on to running backs?
I'm just thrilled that Nathan Rourke is in one of the top performers for the week. I'm also, I guess that slips into the preview, so I won't talk about that.
Okay. Not a lot of surprises here.
Shea Patterson finally didn't fumble this week.
Now they get to face Wisconsin's D-line. Yay!
Josh, that's preview. We won't talk about that.
Sorry. running backs. Not a lot of surprises. One, which I'm very happy about. So Chuba Hubbard out of OK State had 43.5 points. Three rushing touchdowns, 257 yards, 32 attempts. Kobe Lewis, CMU, 39.3 points, 147 yards, three rushing touchdowns, three receptions for 37 yards. Had a fumble, but for a guy that's owning 1% of all leagues,
you can live with a fumble when you rush for 300 yards.
Right. So that may be one to watch. Michael Warren out of Cincinnati finally had a game. 38.8 points, 113 yards, three rushing touchdowns.
All it took was those cardboard cutouts from Miami of Ohio.
Levante Bellamy out of Western Michigan, 37.2 points, 192 yards on the ground, three touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State, 193 yards, one rushing touchdown, and one receiving touchdown, which was...
And now J.K. Dobbins gets to play those same cardboard cutouts.
T.J. McDaniel out of Southern Methodist.
Did you hear what Miami's coach said about Ohio State?
That was so funny. Did you see that, Keith?
No.
He said, it's like we're playing football at recess and Ohio State got the first 85 picks.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, no.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. Don't tell Kelsey that, though. I'm sure she thinks they'll cover.
Okay. So, TJ McDaniel from Southern Methodist. Listen to this efficiency. He got 33 points. He had 159 yards and three rushing touchdowns. How many rushing attempts did that take him?
Say the stats again.
159 rushing yards.
Okay.
Three rushing touchdowns and 33 points.
Nine.
I'll say 12.
Eight.
Jeez.
He's
pretty good
owned
average.
In pretty much 0% of leagues. So, again, if you're marking it down, put a star next to that name. Biggest disappointments.
He's a true freshman, too.
I know. Biggest disappointments. I'm just going to go over. There's a lot this week because there's a lot of running backs that got under 10 points.
Tony Jones.
So I will go just really quickly. B.J. Smith out of Troy had 1 point. Stevie
and
Scott.
B.J. Smith is now out for the season with an injury as well.
Correct. Stevie Scott from Indiana had 2.8. J.J. Taylor out of Arizona at 3.9.
Thanks, J.J. Taylor.
C.J. Verdell. Interesting. He got 4.5 points out of five rushing attempts for 13 yards.
I mean, they played Montana. He probably just, you know, yeah. They're not going to not get him injured in a game like that. So mm-hmm.
Right. Trey Sermon of Oklahoma, 7 rushing attempts for 51 yards, had 5 points. DeAndre Torrett of North Texas had 6 points. Joshua Kelly had 5.1. Kennedy Brooks out of Oklahoma had 6.2 points. You know, Benjamin, I mean, had 12.9, but it's a state offensive line. There's not a lot of rushing attempts you can get out of that. He did score a touchdown, so happy about that. Travis Etienne, 13.8 points. 14 rushing attempts for 76 yards.
That's not very good.
That's, I mean.
Bree had a tough week.
Yeah, she's really getting the rough edge of it. Wide receivers. So Tyler Johnson out of Minnesota had 42 points, 3 touchdowns. Quez Watkins of Southern Miss had
39.9. UConn Phoebe and I were having a conversation. He was expressing frustration with Quez Watkins' performance thus far, and he'd benched him. So I texted him on Sunday. I said, hope you started Quez Watkins, and he just sent me the upside down emoji.
John Mitchell out of Florida Atlantic, owned a 0% of leagues, had 38.4 points.
Yeah, because no one's going to own a dude named John Mitchell.
3 touchdowns.
Not looking to for someone to sign the Constitution.
Antonio Gandy Golden had 37.4 points. Tre'Tarius Atwell had 37.1 points.
Sounds like a Key and Peele, dude.
141 yards, 3 touchdowns. How many receptions did that take him?
4.
You got it right in the head. 4.
So 75% of his receptions are touchdown catches. That's pretty good rate.
Yeah, that's a pretty good day.
Also, probably not sustainable.
Yeah. Laviska Shenault, 35.9. Probably the only good thing on your team this whole week. Aaron Josh.
I don't have him.
No.
That's John.
Who?
The only good player at mine.
Who's your number one pick?
Bree?
No, his.
Tylan Wallace.
Tylan Wallace, that's right. Yeah. Sorry.
And he didn't do great, but he wasn't. He wasn't one of the top disappointments,
right?
Per our friends at CFF Champs,
right? The only other person on here that had himself quite a day, I would say, would be Johnny Ford out of Southern Florida. 4 receptions, 100 yards, 1 touchdown. Also, 1 touchdown using his legs for 37 yards. So, pretty decent week. Biggest disappointments, Rico Bussey Jr. out of North Texas, 0.5 point.
Well, he got hurt early in the game, and I was out for next week, too.
Yeah. The reason for that is because he had 1 reception for -6 yards.
Ouch.
Rondell Moore makes this list.
That was a shocker.
5.5 points, only 3 receptions.
And only for, like, 24 yards.
25 yards, yeah.
Yeah. That TCU defense is no joke.
Yeah, a lot of – actually, this week there's a lot of very highly owned guys. So, like, Jalen Rager of TCU, 7 points.
That Purdue defense.
Yeah. Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, 8.2 points.
I came very close to picking him up this week.
DeMonte Coxey, 11.1 points. James Proche, 12.3 points with 33 yards and 1 touchdown. So, I mean,
it was a weird week.
It was a weird
top week. Top to bottom, fantasy, regular, betting, etc. It was just a weird week.
Once again, we'd like to shout out to our friends at CFF Champs. Thank you very much for these wonderful papers that just appeared on my desk for some reason. I'm not quite sure where these came from, but thank you very much. Please go to cffchamps.com to
magical,
get weekly information. I know.
CFF papers that appear.
It's weird.
I don't know how they do
that. That's what happens to my desk. They just appear. I don't know where they come from.
Do you mean everything in the world?
Yes, to be fair, you don't know what anything on your desk is.
Mine is at least organized.
They just appear. Let's get into week 3, game-wise.
So weird.
This week, we have our first weekend without a ranked matchup since 2017.
But that specific weekend was the weekend Clemson lost to Syracuse. So that weekend was still really weird. And I think this weekend was equally, not equally as weird because Clemson didn't lose, but I like that there's a little bit of a parallel between the last time we had no ranked matchups.
Well, wasn't also the weekend of Friday the 13th?
Yes. Also weird. So I hope you didn't walk any under any ladders. Hope no black cats walked in front of you.
But my whole life is under a ladder.
Well, just like Boston College, because they got blown out of the water by Kansas.
How about those Jayhawks?
Kansas looked like a completely different team. It was insane.
My prediction might be back now.
Might be back?
It very well could be.
Last week after they lost, who did they lose to last week? Coastal Carolina?
Yeah.
It was...
And not a good loss either.
No, I was doubting it, but they looked, like you said, a completely different team on the road.
And like, Boston College is a respectable defense, and they put up 48 points on them.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Another Friday night game. Obviously, Houston, Washington State.
Yeah, also pretty weird. I think Houston, if they did not get called for what seemed like 25 holding penalties, probably could have taken the game out of Washington State's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Deer King is just also not even fair.
So, can I just interrupt real quick? So, one of the reasons that they made them well is they didn't have Puka Williams in the backfield because Khalil Herbert took over.
They still had Puka in the backfield.
I know. Can I just get through it before
he doesn't like it when you interrupt. Remember?
He interrupted me.
He had 11 attempts for 187 yards and one touchdown. So they rode the hot hand. Yes, I know Puka Williams was in the backfield, but he clearly took over. And a lovely view of that on the field. All right.
Chief just pooped in the in the outfield there.
Cool.
That was great. And Kansas now hosts... I know we're getting a little bit of the preview. Kansas hosts West Virginia, who's also back. Mm-hmm. They took it to North Carolina State last week and looked, again, like a completely different team. After being held completely in check against Missouri, West Virginia started running a bunch of crossing routes and a bunch of sweep edge rushes. It worked. They beat NC
they
State.
Found something.
Yeah, something worked.
Well, something had to give.
I don't think we're looking too far ahead by saying this. Game between West Virginia and Kansas might decide the winner of the Big 12 this year.
It's very possible. Yeah, very possible. Because Oklahoma looked like butt against UCLA, and they only put up 48 against UCLA. So I think we can say that Oklahoma's done. Continuing the weirdness, three ranked teams lost, Michigan State, USC, and Maryland. A bunch of other ranked teams almost lost. Iowa squeaked it out against Iowa State.
Shoot.
Washington State, we talked about that a little bit. They felt there was never a doubt that Washington State was going to win, but Houston was always threatening. Washington State also has a lot of things to work out before they really hit their stride, if you ask me, which is scary because their offense was still really good.
Yeah.
Virginia had to come from behind against Florida State at home. Florida, unfortunately, lost Felipe Franks for the year, but had to hold off a Kentucky rally in the fourth quarter to win by 8. And Penn State snuck away with one of the biggest coaching blunders in recent memory with Pat Narduzzi.
Which is saying a lot.
Pat Narduzzi went for a field goal with 4 minutes to go down a touchdown. Interesting decision, if you ask me. And then Minnesota escaped from Georgia Southern.
Well, that's becoming an every week thing for them.
Minnesota escaping?
Yeah. It's just like...
get a little flex special.
It's going to come down to the last possession. It's going to go into overtime. Keep rowing that boat, PJ.
I want Minnesota just to win by one score every week.
Every week.
Every week. And then some really embarrassing losses. Georgia Tech lost to the Citadel.
Hey, the Citadel was tied with Alabama last year.
That's true. Colorado lost to the Air Force. Not the Air Force. It's not like they got into
it's a
carpet bombing battle. Colorado lost to Air Force, and Boston College lost to Kansas. I saw a tweet from the Reddit/r/CFB account that said, this is the first time ever, asterisk, because I think they were doing extra research on it, first time ever that every military academy won their football game in a weekend. And that's including the Virginia Military Institute, the Citadel.
Wait, really?
Yeah, like lower level teams too.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They listed Service Academy.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for your service in more than one capacity.
Forget.
And I think UCLA might be bad.
You think?
They can't get out of their own way. It's terrible.
How long of a leash does Chip Kelly have there, do you think?
I don't know, because Dorian Thompson-Robinson was supposed to be, like, his guy. And he was supposed to be the cornerstone for resurrecting not only UCLA's program, but also, like, the Chip Kelly brand. But
how long has Chip Kelly been there?
This is his second year.
Okay. So, I mean, well, yeah. Okay.
I think you got to give him at least through the end of next year. We know Chip Kelly does not play defense.
Right.
But I think the rest of the college offense is also caught up to what Chip Kelly did when he was at Oregon.
Yeah.
He was so revolutionary, but now that's what everybody does.
Right.
Like, yeah. Alabama's running something similar with nothing but 5-star recruits.
Right.
So it's not a novelty anymore.
Well, the thing with that is defenses start reacting to it, and so then they start they start training players to look for things
right.
in a certain way.
And there's a very big talent gap between Marcus Mariota and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Because when you put pressure on Marcus Mariota, he was like, all right, sweet, I'll run for 30 yards. When you put pressure on Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he panics and just chucks the ball and hopes that something good happens. But more often than not, it lands in the other team's hands. It's not a good recipe for success. it's not looking good for UCLA. Let me pull up their schedule real quick, see if we can – what their upcoming weeks look like here.
It's going to be a long season for UCLA.
Ooh, they got to visit Washington State next week. That's not good. They go at Washington State, at Arizona, host Oregon State, much-needed bye week, at Stanford, host Arizona State, host Colorado, bye week. Oh, these last 3 weeks are tough. At Utah, at USC, hosting Cal. That's a tough look.
That's a slog.
They might not win a game.
I could be talked into them not winning a game.
So then what's that scenario look like for Chip Kelly? If they don't win a game, do you think his leash is gone? Or do you think you still have to give him, because of what he was, you have to give him that one more year?
The standard in college football is 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
I think they'll give him
that
last year.
But not after an 0-1.
But he sure is
not
better.
Not after an 0-4. After an 0-4, you burn the thing to the ground. You have to.
Just start over?
Yeah.
Get Jim Mora back? No, honestly, I think – with how many good G5 coaches there are, depending on what Chip Kelly's buyout is, I think it would make sense to cut ties. Bobby Petrino's available. if you want wins and talking about burning your program down.
I mean, when you look at it as a whole, I mean, I don't think there's any P5 program that the alumni will stomach an 0-16 season.
Oh, 0-12.
Well, yeah.
It's not NFL.
Right. 0-12. Sorry, I was also doing my different fantasy today. 0-12 season. There's no way. Alumni will buy you out in a second.
Yeah. They won't put up with that.
No.
Yeah. I mean, he's not even recruiting particularly well. It's just, you know,
it's tough.
It's not looking good.
And he's got all that. He's got all that talent, too.
Yeah,
all that there's talent surrounding him, and right. the talent that he specifically looks for.
Too. You could trip on your shoelaces falling out of the Rose Bowl and run into a 5-star recruit
right.
in LA.
Speaking of LA, the other team in LA didn't fare.
Yeah, USC didn't look so hot either. Those fighting Mormons out of BYU they're ranked now.
Well, they're looking hot.
Yeah,
hot.
Well, I bet against them, but that's for the preview for next week.
That QB,
I also bet against them last week, and I lost. Thanks, USC.
Let's take a break. Let's let Josh relax, calm down
a little bit, yeah.
And then we'll talk more in depth of our week 3 lines, how we did.
Okay.
Matt, you're on Preferred Talk-Ons.
Sporty Matt, how are you now?
hope you have a few minutes to talk Michigan State this past weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, I'm just driving home right now, so I got nothing better to do.
Well, I don't want to institute some road rage on you, but can we have your takeaways from this Saturday's game?
I would love nothing more than to give my takeaways from this Saturday's game. Let's see. Let's start with the first takeaway. This is my optimistic viewpoint. Offense was actually not that bad. We just didn't score points. So that's coming from being used to not scoring points. So we actually got yardage. which is good. Is an offense you want to gain yards. The next step, in my opinion, would just be scoring points. So, I mean, we'll see when that comes. We, you know, game two, we dominated a juggernaut defense in Western Michigan. So, I think, you know, game three, a little bit of a setback, but we'll probably average around 50 points a game the rest of the year.
That's extremely optimistic.
It's a lock.
That's a guarantee, defense, I guess.
The defense wasn't perfect, and that's why we lost. So, you know, if we can find a way to not let our team score, we'll at least go to overtime every game. So that's something to look at as well. What else? I mean, Arizona State was – they're a solid team. They should have won the game. Pac-12 officials aren't great.
Yeah, that is true. They are not great.
I will say blaming the officials for that loss, which a lot of Michigan State fans are doing, not fair. I mean, you can't miss three kicks and score 7 points at home and blame anybody but yourself for losing. So, yeah, the officials weren't great, but you got to blame yourself for that one.
Well, if I could interrupt you real quick, Spartan, yeah. Matt, you guys had the ball for 43 minutes and 43 seconds in the entire game, to 404 yards, 113 which were rushing, and 291 which were passing.
Yep.
So, yeah, I would say your offense is back against that staunch Arizona State defense.
Yeah, you know, Pac-12 is definitely known for defense and just pretty much dominating the football landscape. So, you know, putting up yardage like that is definitely a good thing. And I think it'll only lead to more points. It's pretty incredible that you can gain that many yards and only score 7 points. That's pretty incredible.
I love you were keeping it together. You're doing so well, and then you finally overflowed.
Yeah, it's just I didn't even realize we had that many yards until I looked at the stats after the game, and I was like, wow, our offense was actually decent. We just couldn't score points. I think we got into Arizona State territory 9 times, and I think we got into the red zone maybe 2 times, which that's impressive too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive to hold the team to 7 punts.
Yeah.
Jeez. If there is ever a football game that is blue balls, it's this one. If you ask me.
Yeah, it was the whole game was kind of a tease, to be honest with you. You just kind of felt like points were coming and they just never really came.
Oh man. I didn't know about the time of possession stat either. That's not great.
43 minutes.
43-43 is kind of cool though.
That is. Silver lining.
It's a positive.
You
yeah.
got that going for you.
Yeah.
So that's a good takeaway. That's a positive. I did see that Michigan State is 9.5-point favorites at Northwestern this weekend, which seems wild to me, but I don't know. Maybe Northwestern's not that good. You guys probably know more about that than I do.
Well, they looked really shaky against Stanford. Hunter Johnson's had some injury issues. Isaiah Bowser's hurt. The over-under is also set at 39, so that's also seems kind of high, to be honest.
Yeah, I would smash that under. that's the lowest total I remember seeing, and I still would say it could be lower.
Yeah, for college, it's rare to get below 40.
Yeah.
And it's also rare for people to be comfortably predicting the under as well.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you can easily see this as a 10-7 game again.
Yeah, they're basically saying if Michigan State's favored by 9.5, they're basically expecting this game to be like, 20-6 or 17-3 or something?
Probably, yeah.
And I don't think that's out of the would be phenomenal.
One offensive touchdown you should probably add, right?
Yeah.
Because defense still looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled with the defense. I think the 4th-and-13 was upsetting, obviously.
Right.
But you can't be perfect the whole game. And I think they just – you can't let a freshman quarterback run there because you know a freshman quarterback's going to default to running over throwing when they can. But that being said, Arizona State's quarterback probably going to win the Heisman. I'd pick him up in fantasy this week. So still the best defense in the country after that game.
I would still agree.
Josh, let's talk some Iowa State, huh?
What's up? What about them?
They've looked real solid. They snuck past Northern Iowa and then got beat by Iowa. So they can't lose another game for you until the rest of the year, right?
Essentially.
That's 11 bet.
Yes, that is 11 bet. It's not the rest of the year. It's just until they play Texas or Oklahoma, whatever one they play first. So essentially it's not over, but they'll probably lose to Baylor, and I'm probably going to lose this bet. So I'm willing to accept that.
I think we should like live stream that to some sort of platform.
For all our fans?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, we have at least Bill's mom and Bill's wife. Those two people listen.
I mean, no offense to my mom. I don't know if she could figure out how to access a live stream. Love her to death, but I had to hit subscribe for her on this podcast.
I don't know if I know how to access a live stream.
Hey, Sparty Matt, are you still butthurt about Wake Forest?
Yeah. I mean, that game. So I actually learned the rule is the refs were right, I guess. You can't go out of bounds backwards and then the clock runs or something.
Right. Yeah. His forward progress stopped. Therefore, the clock still runs when he's out of bounds. But because it was a first down, it also should have stopped. So I'm not really sure where they actually landed on it, but Wake Forest escaped.
To be completely honest, too, I was watching the game at a bar and just didn't want football to be over. So that fed into the emotions a little bit.
There was a game after it. There was a game that started at like 10:30.
Yeah, but Wake Forest, they just hold a special place in my heart because I want them to fail.
Well, I can respect that.
But at the end of the day, I still got my Alabama Crimson Tide. That's true. Fan since the start, so I think they're going to the Natty. I mean, things are looking up. Mexico State, not a chance. I don't even know who they played this weekend. South Carolina, that was a bloodbath.
Yep.
Isn't there an early game this week, though?
Especially poor Alabama having to play so early.
God, I feel bad for them.
It's really tough.
Can you imagine playing a noon game? Wow.
I mean,
nobody else in the South does it. Why Alabama? We're always picked on.
Yeah. When are they going to catch a break, man?
Yeah, seriously.
It's tough.
I mean, they should just be able to pick their own games. You got Pac-12 teams playing at 9 a.m., he's the ringleader for that, but Alabama can't play at 11 a.m.
Yeah, Alabama's got Southern Miss this weekend.
Oh, another tough one.
That's going to be a tough one. I think Saban and the boys will be ready.
I'm sure they will. All right, Matt, we appreciate you coming on. Best of luck to your Spartans this weekend against Northwestern.
Yeah, how about Michigan, though? They're going to beat Wisconsin.
That's a hard no for me.
That's a definite no for me.
That's a no.
All right. Well, I hope it's a no for me too, but I kind of feel like Michigan's going to find a way to win. I just think it's going to be that type of year for Michigan. They just figure out ways to win. And they're not that good, but they end up having a better record than last year.
I'd love that.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
That's also me just negative Michigan State fan right now. So I'll let you guys get back to the podcast, but Roll Tide.
All right. See Talk to you later, Matt.
Bye, Matt.
See you guys.
That was Sparty Matt.
God, what a treat.
Such a joy every time he's on.
It was amazing. He's just like, from 0 to 60, you know, right there. It's okay. It's
Oh, I really wish I had watched that game with him because he was so lit up.
Oh my gosh.
After that MSU game.
He must have sent 13 straight texts.
Oh yeah.
It was insane.
Oh.
All right. Well, Josh, how'd your locks do this week?
I was 2 for 5 this week. It was not a great...
Oh, I did so bad.
It was not a great week for me.
It was a weird week.
USC did not cover. Hawaii did not cover. Houston and Washington State did not cover the over. The two that I did get right, off the top of my head, I don't even remember. Do you have mine written down by a chance?
I don't have yours, no.
Central Florida and Stanford covered the over, and then one other covered, but it was not a great week.
It was tough.
It was the lines for this week look a lot more favorable. We'll get into that next time, but yeah, it was a weird week. Didn't do well.
Yeah. I went 2 for 6 on locks. Oklahoma State covered with a 14-point spread, and Georgia Southern and Minnesota hit the over of 46.5. By quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So those are the two ones that I hit. Mississippi State did not cover a 7.5-point spread. They lost by 7. Texas Tech did not cover a 2.5-point favor. TCU and Purdue did not hit their 51-point over. And Kent State and Auburn cleared their 53-point over by quite a bit, because past Gus Malzahn blowouts have been like 35-3. So I thought it would work, but it did not. I still went 59% for the week, though, so I'll take that. But everything else was...
Yeah, got to be better next week. I apologize. I'll be better next week.
We're getting the conference play
now. Speaking of not great picks, Kelsey, Miami pick did not hold up very well.
Nope. That was one of her fierce locks. She was so confident in Miami. She
was marking it down, ready to go.
So what were they, 16.5 points? Mm-hmm. And they lost by... Twice that?
A lot.
A lot.
A lot.
We'll just, for her sake, we'll just say the lost point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, so, Bill.
Yes.
Your watchability.
Watchability.
Got the watchability here.
All right. So, let's hear your flips.
The do not miss this games that I'm sending down are Stanford UCF and Hawaii Washington, because Stanford looked completely lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping Hawaii just had a little bit of magic. But not the case against Washington. This weekend, I don't know if there's a whole lot of the lowest category that I'd like to move up, because they were all pretty bad. Maybe OK State versus Tulsa.
Game's close into the third, but then Oklahoma State ran away with it.
Yeah. The one I'd really like to move up would be Kansas State versus Mississippi State. I had them in the because you're waiting on another game category, but it ended up being a really enjoyable game.
Hmm.
And one of the memes that you will not be seeing for the rest of college football this season.
Yep.
Which one?
The quarterback doing the helicopter.
He got hit by two players and went like 13 feet in the air. He was somehow okay. But
that short of the first down, too.
Yeah, last play of the game, which is a tough way to end it. Yeah, the rest of these kind of held true to what I expected them to be. Memphis, South Alabama wasn't close. North Texas versus Cal might have moved up, because that was close-ish.
Close adjacent.
Yeah. It's still football categories as a reminder. Chattanooga, Tennessee, blowout. Notre Dame, New Mexico.
Shout out Tennessee. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You did it.
Welcome to the win column.
They might get more than UCLA this year.
I need to see a Tennessee UCLA bowl game.
You think UCLA is going to be bowl eligible?
Well, okay, let me back that up. Not a bowl game. I need a postseason exhibition of Tennessee UCLA. Because I'm well on record, not on the podcast record, but I've told you guys,
mm-hmm.
I want every team to play a bowl game just so I can watch the worst college football teams go at it. Because that's just as fun to me as watching, let's be honest, it's more fun than watching Bama Clemson for the fifth time in 5 years.
All right.
I'm probably the only person in America who would prefer UTEP versus Rutgers to Bama Clemson.
Yeah, probably.
Army UTSA wasn't close. Kent State Auburn wasn't close. Texas Rice wasn't close. San Diego, New Mexico State wasn't close. UMass Charlotte wasn't close. So, yeah, that category really held true this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was pretty surprised by your predictions there. They did well.
Those aren't predictions.
Predictions for how good the games are going to be, yeah.
It's not necessarily a prediction. It's based on the evidence.
So you're not predicting whether the game's going to be good to look at.
Right, because
we argued about this in the last show.
Like, if I were to predict UNLV versus Northwestern, it's going to be not enjoyable football, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to put it in the don't miss this game. You know? It's not predicting the same way that I'm predicting whether Oklahoma State's going to cover or not.
Okay.
I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it makes sense up here.
Okay.
I'm pointing to my brain.
Well, if it makes sense to you and you're happy with it, I'm happy with it.
I don't know if I'd go straight to happy, but it's here.
It exists. It's happening.
It exists. That's all I have for this week.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those weeks, I guess.
Super weird
week. There was really a game that you're really dying to see, and there wasn't really a game that ended up being one that you look back and you're like, man, that was a great game. So we'll get to previewing here. on Thursday.
I mean, when game day goes to Iowa, Iowa State, you know it's not the best week.
That might have been the most exciting game, the fact that it was delayed 12 and a half hours.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Those yeah. poor fans. They finally get game day, and then they get rained on for all day.
All day.
Brutal. Game day is headed to... crap, I forgot where it went.
It's heading to crap.
Hold on.
Well, we are getting a little too much in the preview show. So
yeah, well.
Well, we can have...
Well, I will be gone for the preview show itself. I will be up in Traverse City at my sister's wedding.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, it's a thing that's happening, and I'm in it.
Whoever Georgia plays.
Georgia Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's a deserving game.
That's a deserving game, yeah.
Texas A&M Auburn would also be a good one. We'll save that for the preview show. We're going to have Mountaineer Ross on as our he'll be filling in for Keith, and he'll be doing the Bill Josh, how are you now? Toledo.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. It's just not going to be the same.
Billy, Josh, how are you now? Oh. That was my Mountaineer Ross impression.
Yeah.
That was good.
That happened. That's a thing that exists now.
So get ready for that. We'll talk week four and how the season is going way too fast.
And ad drops, matchups, all that good. So contact us
at
PTO_podcast on Twitter or email us theptopodcast@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe, unsubscribe, download, undownload, redownload. Do all that podcast stuff. See you next week. Or no, see you in 2 days.